I'll be reading three passages today. The first one is John 14, chapters 25 through 27. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 16, chapter 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Philippians 4, chapter 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, my prayer and my petition with thanksgiving presents your requests to God. And the peace of God with transcendent all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
I retired about 6.5 years ago. It's been a great journey. I did a couple things when I retired. One of the things that I did was I signed up to be a member of AARP. Do we have any AARP members here? Huh? Great organization. American Association of Retarded People. Retired people? Something like that. Anyway, I got a couple things, you know. I got all kinds of coupons and discounts, and I got a bulletin that comes every month. You probably get it as well, and I read it from time to time. And I also get a 15% discount at Denny's. What a cool deal that is! So I enjoy that. One day I was reading the bulletin, and in the bulletin there was an editorial. You see me better up here? I am not real. I'll try not to walk off the edge here. In the bulletin, that AARP bulletin, it had a question, and the editors were interested in this question: how do you cope with stress in your life? And they wanted people to write in and share how they coped with stress. And there was a variety of responses. Some said, eat chocolate. Others said, take a stiff drink. Okay. One gentleman said that he gave his wife $1 at the beginning of each year and asked her to worry for both of them for the rest of the year. And he said, if you want to send her $1, that she would be glad to worry for you for the rest of the year as well. Well, God has a strategy for stress. He helps us cope with it. He says that in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's not going to be that we don't have difficulty and hardship. My goodness, you know, we know our life is filled with different things. Work, money, time, family, all of these things are stressors in our lives. And then there's the medical stuff. There's health issues, aging, growing older, learning how to adapt. And then ultimately death. I mean, life is filled with trouble. Jesus didn't say life. He's a realist. It's filled with trouble. But he says we don't have to be worried. We don't have to let it overwhelm us. You know, anger, anxiety and worry and fear are natural kinds of emotions. We're going to feel those things. Jesus isn't going to say you're never going to feel that, but he's saying that we don't have to be overwhelmed by it. We don't have to be run by it. We can have the peace of God in the midst of trouble. So he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. So how do we cope with stress? How do we find just a little bit of peace in this chaotic, crazy world of ours? Well, I believe we have a whole Bible that talks about it, and I've chosen these three passages that I'm going to talk a little bit about. And these are God's strategy for coping with stress. It's not sending $1 to this lady. It's something else. He's got another plan in mind. And these three passages are going to help us. Today, I'm going to look at John 14 and John 16. And next week, we're going to look at John 4, 6, and 7. So those of you going to Korea are going to have to get the CD and find out what happens. This is a two-part message today. So, John 14, 27. Jesus said there are two kinds of peace. He says the world is going to try to give you peace. And he said, I'm going to give you peace. And the way I give you peace is going to be different from the way the world gives it to you. So the peace of God is something. God's peace. Okay. The peace of God, that's this, I want this one first. The peace of the world. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with the peace of the world. In fact, I think God sometimes says, hey, why don't you do something about your problems instead of coming to me and praying that in your laziness, in your undisciplined lifestyle, that you don't have any control of your time and you want to have peace. I'm not going to give you peace. Do something about your life. Make some decisions. Okay? So the peace of the world is, but generally speaking, we try to minimize the trouble. You know, if we don't have any problems, we're at peace. Okay? We want to usually maximize our security. And that might be, you know, right, the way we live, financial things, relationships. We want to try to maximize the security. We may look out for help from some others. We basically want to try to control as much of our lives as possible. And of course, those of us that are older realize the older we get, really, the less we can really control very much about life. But you got to grow into that. So, you know, control is a big deal. And then sometimes, unfortunately, people try to cope with it in some destructive ways. I mean, we get into drugs or drinking or spending money in crazy ways. I mean, we become dishonest and deceptive. We do some bad things, and it doesn't help with peace. It just makes the stress worse. The peace of God is different from this. It's peace in the midst of trouble and difficulty. It's security, but it's found in God and not our own abilities. It's surrender of the control of life rather than grabbing the control of life. This is very different from the way we have the peace in the world. And that's the peace Jesus is talking about. In this passage, he's talking about that subjective peace within us. He's not talking about peace in relationships with other people, but he's talking about that peace that dwells within us in the midst of trouble and difficulty. So the bottom line is, peace is about trust, whether it's the peace of the world or our peace. If it's the peace of the world, then we trust ourselves and our resources. We may trust other people. You have a surgeon, you need some help, you talk with him, he's got a good reputation, a good degree, he's done this a couple of times. Okay, I'm going to trust him. If you really trust the surgeon, then you will have peace. Okay? You won't be overwhelmed by that. I know I can put my life in his hands, and he's going to be able to do what I trust he can do. Okay? And then there's the peace of God, which is trusting not ourselves or other people, but trusting God, a God that we can't see, and also a God that we can't control. And we're saying, God, okay, I'm going to trust you with my life. But I believe as we do that, we will discover the peace that Jesus gives. In Isaiah 26, there's a wonderful verse here about peace. Isaiah wrote, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast," that's trusted, fixed, placed solidly in God, "because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is this," I love this, "the rock eternal." Isn't that a beautiful image? God is the rock eternal. I can depend on him. I can stand on him. He's not going anywhere. So Jesus promised that we could have peace. We could have the peace of God. that peace is found by putting our trust in God, and the peace of God is the fruit of our faith. I want to underscore that because sometimes I think we go after peace when what we need to do is go after surrender. Okay? We need to surrender more, we need to trust more, and then peace will be the fruit of that surrender. As we trust God, then the peace will come. If you go after just peace, it's not going to work. It comes with surrender. So I want to share with you 5 trust-building truths. These are things that God says to us. They're about the character of God and give us reason to put our trust in this God that we cannot see and cannot control. Why should we do that? And as we trust in these things, then we will be, I think we'll experience more of the peace of God. So, first is, God says to us, I am with you. I think this is probably one of the most comforting truths of the scriptures. We often hear about the presence of God. Jesus is talking with his disciples the night before he's arrested, the night that he's arrested, and basically says this, I will be with you. I am with you. He talks about it in terms of the Holy Spirit. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Do you know what the stressor was at that Last Supper? The stressor was that Jesus said he's going away. And he not only that, he said, and you can't come. I'm going away, and you can't come. And they said, what are we going to do? You are our leader. You're our teacher. You're our closest friend. What do you mean you're going away and we can't come? They were stressed out about that. And so Jesus, in response to that, tells them this. I physically am going away, but my Father is going to send the Holy Spirit and he will be with you. Not externally as Jesus was, but now the presence of God will be internal. And Jesus says, it's not just a person here, it's a person within. So in a way, my presence is even greater than my presence was while I'm with you now. So he says, you don't need to stress out about this. I am going to be with you. I am with you. I dwell within you. And then right after that, the verse right after it, Jesus talks about giving peace. The Father is going to give the Spirit, and Jesus says, and I'm going to give you my peace. It comes with the Spirit. No Spirit, no peace. The Spirit of God is the presence of God. As we trust that, we begin to have peace. So he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. So the presence of the Spirit, as we trust that, okay? We say it, but do we believe it? Do we trust it? Do we live as though that's true? That will bring us peace. Second trust-building truth is, I'm in control. I'm in control. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have what? Oh, but take heart. I have what?
Overcome.
I have what?
Overcome.
I've overcome the world. There's a contrast here between the trouble in the world and the triumph of Jesus. You know, we are. We're going to have trouble. Jesus said, I've done something about it. I know all the trouble that you're going to have. I've been there, I've done that, and I've overcome it. In the resurrection of Christ, Jesus triumphed over the last enemy, over the greatest trouble, that of death itself. And if he can triumph over death, he can certainly triumph over the other difficulties that we have and encounter in life. Jesus actually says, I laugh at trouble.
Beautiful.
I laugh at trouble. Be of good cheer. Take heart. You know, rejoice. I've overcome the world. Trust me. I've got this. Huh? When I was, remember the days of the VCR? I remember dating myself a little here. I remember sometimes I would, if I was miss, there was going to be an SU game on, I would put a tape in if I was doing something, and I would come home and watch it later. I would try not to find out what the score was, but I usually did through the news or through people talking. And when I sat down to watch the tape, if I knew what the score was and that we won, then I would watch it, and a basketball game. And you know what? If we were 15 points behind in the middle of the third quarter, I wasn't anxious. I knew we were going to win. I was curious. I wonder how they were going to dig themselves out of that kind of a hole. But I wasn't anxious, and I wasn't worried like it was real time in the dome. Then you'd be, okay? But I knew what the end was. And Jesus says, I've shown you the end. I've shown you the end. I win, okay? I triumph. I triumph. You don't have to worry about it. I've got this. You don't have to worry about it. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I learned how to do this. And I believe this is a wonderful image of what trusting that God is with us and that God is in control is all about. I was 5 or 6 years old. My dad took me to the local pool, and he got in the water about waist deep, and he put his arms out like this, and he said, "Now I want you to lay on my arms." And he was going to teach me how to float on my back. "I want you to lay on my arms. Now I'll tell you, I'm not going to let you sink. I'm going to hold you up, okay? But I want you to relax and just trust the water and let it hold you up." Well, in my little mind, I thought that the more of me that was out of the water, the easier it would be to float because there was less in the water. Made sense to me. So as I was there and as my dad told me just to relax and let the water hold me up, my arms went up. My feet went up, and my head certainly went up. And if my dad's arms were not underneath me, you know well what would have happened. I would have gone right under the water, right down. Okay? And so after that, my dad told me something that sounded contradictory. I didn't understand it. I do now because I know physics. But he said this. He said, "The more of you that's in the water, the easier it will be to float." The more of you that's in the water, the easier it will be to float. So believing my dad, I tried to relax my arms, and I tried to relax my legs and not be stiff. The hardest part was letting my head go back. You know, the water's got to come just over your ears, it seems like. But you know what? As I did that, I began to float. And my dad could take his arms away, and I was floating. And that's a picture of what it is to trust God and have the peace. We got to let ourselves into the water. We got to allow the living water to surround us, and it will buoy us up. We just need to relax. We need to trust and surrender, and the peace of God will give us peace. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this truth from your word. And they are not new. We've heard them before. But we would like to affirm again that we believe you are with us, that you dwell within us. Your living presence is here. It's not just a power, it's a person. And we thank you for him. And we thank you that you're a mighty God, that you're in control, that nothing overwhelms you, that you're not upset by the trouble and the difficulty and the evil that seems to run rampant on our world, that you're in control and that you can take care of this too. So we give you thanks for that. And Lord, there may be some people here today that are struggling with worry, having a hard time with some troublesome event in their lives, concern for somebody else. And Lord, help us to bring that concern to you. Help us to trust you with it and to experience the peace that you promise. So we give you our thanks and praise for your great love for us, and pray that we might know your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the last hymn is a wonderful hymn about peace. And it's called It Is Well With My Soul. And I want to encourage you to sing this as a way of surrendering yourself again to God, that you might be at peace and rest in Him. And if you have some struggle or difficulty, just affirm the truth of what we've heard today and trust that God will give you His peace. Okay?